You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Hey, Al, hit it.
Yeah! I ran out of breath there. I got a bit of a start. We got a friend in the studio. We got four legs.
Got a little four-legged friend here.
His name is Monty.
Yes. He's my Labrador Retriever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very friendly.
Yes, and at some point he's going to settle down, but he's not going to bark.
Not a problem. It caught me off guard there. We got a great show lined up today, as usual. Brian, we've got PC Constable Sean Shapiro.
We certainly do. He's one of our social media friends, and he's going to have lots to say. We've got Jeff Atkinson, the president of Honda Indy Toronto, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And we have in studio my pal Rob Calisi from Element Fire. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me.
I was just thinking of a joke, but I don't know if I could say that. You know that joke that goes, "Are you just glad to see me, or is that a fire extinguisher in your pocket?" All right. Speaking of fire extinguishers, and it's small, and you can keep it anywhere, and it works amazing, eh?
Correct. It's, we advertise it's 80% smaller, 1/10 the weight of a regular fire extinguisher.
Uh-huh.
And unlike, I guess, a regular fire extinguisher, you never have to service it or replace it. It's good for life.
That's great. How long have you been selling those?
We've been selling it as a consumer product for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But prior than that, it was exclusively the domain of police, military, and special forces around the world for about a decade before then.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get back into that a little later. But can you believe 34 years that the Honda Indy's been running?
I can't believe that, but
no. I remember going with my dad to the Blue Jay games years ago.
Yeah.
And you'd be walking around the parking lot and be like, how come all of a sudden there's these pylons everywhere? And,
That's right.
Well, because they were setting up the race.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not getting any younger, I suppose. But yeah, 34 years makes a lot of sense. And it's nice that they're back after being off for a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. And for people who don't even necessarily follow Indy, they've got the NASCAR guys, the Pinty series.
Yeah, the Canadian NASCAR series, the Pinty series is going to be there. The Sports Car Championship Canada is going to be there, which is my kind of jam. It's
right.
GT4 and TCR cars. They've got the Porsche GT3 Championship. And what, do they have some Formula cars as well?
I believe Formula 2000 will be running as well, the feeder series to the IndyCar Championship.
That's great.
You said you used to run Formula V.
A long time ago.
When did that stop?
Well, Formula V still runs. It's still extremely active. It's a great stepping stone, one of the first steps to getting into racing outside of karting. And I've been fortunate that this year marks 30 years of me racing cars continuously. So it's over the years, I think I've tried just about everything at one time or another.
Great. And I see you still got your vision and all four limbs. And actually, a buddy of mine just decided, you know, he's going to have a clearance sale. You know, he got to a certain age and decided, you know what? I've rid on two wheels for so many years and never had an accident. I think I'm just going to hang it up while I'm on the plus side.
That's a good idea.
Exactly. Oof. All right, we're going to have to take a break. And afterwards, we're going to be back with Sean Shapiro, who is the media guru. Kind of like you, Brian. You're everywhere.
No, he's way more places than I am. He's on Twitch and he's on TikTok. I don't go to those places. But Sean Shapiro is everywhere on social media.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out about Ask a Cop, because the Ask a Cop cop will be with us right here. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here with Alan Gelman and our friend Rob Khaleesi from Element Fire in the studio today. And, of course, my dog, who's trying to be good. he's trying. And, of course, got to mention, don't forget to go to davescornergarage.com for your chance to win a $250 Esso gift card.
Yes, we need that. And that's what we're going to talk about, gasoline and how people maybe will be switching. But Brian, before we get into that, you know, you are a traditionalist as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're the guy who promotes three pedals rather than two.
Yep, I sell the merch on my store, Save the Manuals.
Now, and I'm sure, you know, you get a little chub on when you smell gasoline or you smell burning rubber or oil smoke and that.
Yeah, or I hear a Lamborghini V10.
Okay, exactly my point.
Yes.
But last week, you were... And you let me drive it, and I got excited too. But you are now a proponent of electric vehicles.
Well, I'm wading into the EV world a little bit,
uh-huh.
And it helps that I've got an EV charger at home. But you know, I'm learning all about this business of EVs and running costs, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And what's really impressive is that Mustang and the Kia that I'm driving this week cost me the equivalent of $170 to charge overnight. Overnight rates.
Which is nothing.
It's that gives me over 400 kilometers of range.
Like if you went to the gas station and you went in and got a coffee at the Timmy's, that's all it costs to fill up the car.
It's less, half the cost. Half the cost of it. So, there's... I've always said that 2022 was going to be the year,
yes.
for EVs, where uh-huh. we're going to see a lot of EVs and everything's kind of in place. And that's kind of where we are. The charging networks are there. So, you know, if you don't have a Tesla, you can quick charge in lots of places.
Right.
And you know, I'm going on a long road trip with this Kia today. And, you know, I know where the quick chargers are. And what I find... I have to say that Electrify Canada has the most reliable and fastest chargers that I've experienced.
Okay, so I'm on the 401.
Mm-hmm.
Can I assume that every big truck stop gas station is going to have electric charger?
Not at all. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
So you can't. And you know, the problem is that the charging networks have not consolidated yet. So you've got Electrify Canada, which is mm-hmm. making big investments in this country, but
right.
they're not everywhere. So, for example, if I wanted to go to Prince Edward County with any electric,
right.
I couldn't really get there and back without compromising the trip.
Okay.
So where I'm going today, there are chargers along the way. Petro-Canada says that they've got a charging network that's across the entire country. And yes, they kind of do, but they're not easy to get to. And as a resident of Toronto, there are no Petro-Canada fast chargers anywhere near me.
Oh, wow. So it's not a case of just... You know, driving it and not having to worry, it is a concern.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's taken me a fair bit of time to dive into these apps and mm-hmm. and understand, you know, where the network, where the chargers are, who's reliable, who's not, all of that stuff. And what I found is so far these Electrify Canada stations are the fastest and most reliable, and they're the easiest to use.
I found that the few people that I do have. You know, that I do know personally with electric vehicles, they're almost like a hobbyist almost, you know, where they live and breathe that electric car and can tell you all about it.
Yeah, there's an obsession about it with some people, especially
right,
Tesla folks.
But on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, as being a garage owner and mechanic, you know, when I ask somebody to open up their hood to fill up their washer fluid, and they even know how to do that.
You're right.
I mean, so you have those people who know nothing.
Yes.
You know, well, you don't even have to put a key in anymore. You just approach the car.
Right. And, you know, cars are getting more advanced, whether they have internal combustion engines or electrics.
Right.
And, you know, since I've been driving electrics, I've seen more gaps in knowledge and you know, as regular drivers, they don't understand what's going on with electrics. They don't really understand how to use them and that sort of thing. So it's
going to take a while before they're going to entice the average Joe.
Yes, and you know, the price point of these things, that Mustang that you drove last week.
Yes.
You know, very quick electric Mustang. That was $90,000 before taxes.
Wow. Okay. But I know someone took us to task on my Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and I was just joking. And next thing I know, I had a 2-page reply
about,
yo, buddy, let me inform you, okay? I'm saying that in jest, but actually mm-hmm. it was quite good where, you know, if you – yes, the car costs a whole lot more, but it costs a quarter – of that price to maintain and to feed.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So that you know that you're not doing oil changes,
right?
And brakes wear out far less. Mm-hmm. Where you know obviously you're gonna have to have your car still inspected frequently,
sure,
because you're not in the shop for oil changes,
but, right?
You know, you have to inspect it and all that stuff. Tires are probably gonna wear a little bit faster because these things are heavier.
Yes,
a lot heavier. That Mustang, uh-huh, was 5,000 pounds.
Right, and it probably doesn't have a spare.
No, it certainly doesn't have a spare.
So if you're running run flats with that series tire, you know, people don't know, but you're going to be talking about possibly $400 or $500 per tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I mean, we get back to a little bit later, but, you know, because all of a sudden electricity, which was cheap, there's nobody controlling it.
That's
except
right.
For the people who are supplying it.
That's
and
right.
And they can turn up the screw when they want to.
And they're starting to.
Sucks. All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've been talking electric. We're going to be talking to PC Sean Shapiro right after this break. You know, he's the Ask a Cop. We've got lots of questions. We'll get to him right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. We have our friend and Toronto police officer, PC Sean Shapiro, and if you don't know him, he's very famous on social media, even more famous than I am. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's Saturday. What could be wrong?
And it's a beautiful day outside.
I haven't seen outside yet, but I'm getting there.
You don't live inside 24/7 with that camera on, do you?
No, but, you know, we've talked about it.
Well, you do look quite comfortable, I must say.
Thank you very much.
So basically people call in and they or call in or write in, I should say, and ask you any kind of questions they want about policing.
Yeah, we generally focus on traffic law, traffic safety, but we talk about all sorts of things, even employment, because we're hiring, so we always talk about whatever's on their mind. But we started out on TikTok, and we've expanded onto all the different social media platforms. And yeah, we take their questions live and spend an hour to an hour and a half a day when I'm in the office doing that.
What I thought was comical, I did watch it yesterday, and you said, oh, by the way, if you see an accident or fire, don't personally message me. Pick up the phone and call, you know, because I don't necessarily look at my phone when I'm not, you know, when there's an emergency. So please, I guess it's like when you call your doctor and they go, if you're experiencing this, hang up right now.
Yes.
And call 911.
That's right.
Okay, that's what you need to do.
It's kind of scary that we have to say that, but we have to say it. And we've developed such a relationship that people contact me about all sorts of things. I had someone who was in a crisis. They had developed a relationship, you know, even though we'd never spoken, but he was thinking of harming himself. So he reached out, and we ended up getting him the help he needed.
That's great. And the city of Toronto is changing the rules. What's going on?
Well, it's not so much changing the rules, just bringing back some stricter enforcement. We've been seeing an influx of pre-pandemic traffic, so all the relaxation when it came to parking enforcement and giving people more flexibility to get where they needed to go and park, that's got to clamp down and keep Toronto moving is the campaign. And it's all focused on letting people know to educate and get everybody going so they start following the rules that we used to enforce strictly, because we're going to be enforcing them again. And as of Monday, we're bringing back even towing.
All right.
For rush hour route.
At my cigar shop in near Yorkville, I forgot about my car parked after 3 p.m. and it was on the tow hook one time. So that was not a good situation, but I managed to rescue it and cost me a few dollars. But that's how it goes. In my part of the city, Sean, we've got lane reductions because we've got Cafe TO going on, and there's lots of congestion. What are you guys seeing?
Well, we're seeing the same thing. Obviously, we're accommodating, helping these businesses function with Cafe TO, and there's all sorts of restrictions because of these lane obstructions. And then on top of that, people who are just not being courteous by just stopping in no stopping zones and parking wherever they like. And they've been able to get away with it, so they've developed some bad habits. And again, we want to make sure that we break those habits. And if we have to issue a $150 ticket for parking in the rush hour, we will, but we want to avoid that if we can.
We used to see some crazy videos where people would stop traffic, you know, and do donuts in the middle of intersections because they felt they could, and there wasn't a lot of traffic. But now that traffic is back, you guys are going to be enforcing that and, of course, coming down on those actual cars, eh?
Well, stunt driving has been a problem throughout the pandemic. We've seen increases of speed and people who are just doing brazen and dangerous things. So laws were changed in September, on September 2021, in fact. Provincial government changed the HTA and now included private property for the enforcement of stunt driving. Mm-hmm. Additionally, instead of losing your car for only 7 days and your license for 7 days, now your license goes for 30 days and your car gets taken for 14. But we are out there and we're always looking for vehicles that are unsafe. In fact, yesterday we had a race team out that was a multi-service campaign. We were out there looking for vehicles that violated. And in the first 20 minutes, we had a car that was taken off the road, plates seized, had six or seven charges, including, unsafe tires. It was lowered unsafely. The tires made contact with the body. There was a mess of problems.
Those cars are everywhere. Yeah, that's, and, of course, I see them and they stick out like sore thumbs. And, there's the right way to modify a car and there's the wrong way to modify a car. And that sounds like the wrong way.
Absolutely. And what's amazing is we're characterized as people who are anti-car as police, that we're out to get the people who modify cars. And that's not the case. We have cops who race cars, who modify cars. We love cars. We're traffic people. We're there for a reason. But the folks who put others at risk because they're making unsafe changes to their car need to know that there's a right way and a wrong way, like you said, and we're after those who do it the wrong way.
And of course, I'm a big believer in taking all of this stuff to the track and not fooling around in public roads. There's so many reasons it's not a safe place to play with a car.
Absolutely. And I keep hearing excuses that, the tracks aren't close enough. If you want people to not stunt drive, build us a track. Well, that's not the way it works. It's your responsibility.
Oh, you're absolutely right, John. And when I started racing 30 years ago, I heard this exactly the same thing. And, I sacrificed lots to go racing. And that's what I did.
Actually, interesting question that you got yesterday too was, most people assume that every of these rules only pertain to public property, but in fact, so guys were complaining saying, "I'm on a private highway, in a private parking lot. Why can't I just use that to however I want? I'll limit who can get in and out, so nobody gets hurt. But at the same time, I want to do my burnouts. But that's not right either, is it?
No, even if it was your driveway." It's technically illegal. Now, I'm not camping out in the bushes next to your house waiting for you to peel your tires out,
right,
or do a donut. But the truth is, someone's going to complain. If you're doing this stuff, we're going to get notified, and we're going to have to take action. The law was pretty broad. It covers farmer's fields and in above ground, below ground, like everything possibly under the sun. And it was done because we were seeing those behaviors in those environments. And people are running, events, and they're dangerous. They're not taking proper precautions. And, ultimately, taxpayers pay for your health care. I imagine that's got something to do with
it. Sean, speaking of donuts, it's time to go get one. Okay? And I won't make a funny joke about policemen on their way to the donut shop with the siren on, okay? I do want to thank you for joining us today. And if people want to watch you, where do they find you?
You can get us at Traffic Services on TikTok or Traffic Services Toronto Police on YouTube. We're Traffic Services on Twitter. We're everywhere. You can just search Toronto Police Traffic Services or Sean Shapiro, the voiceover cop. You'll find me.
There you go. So don't do donuts. Just eat donuts.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll be back right after this break with Rob Calisi, who's going to help us put out the fire.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage, and don't forget to go to davescornergarage.com for your chance to win a $250 Esso gift card, and, everybody can appreciate $250 in gas these days. We have my pal, longtime racer, Rob Calisi from Element Fire here. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
So what's going on today?
Well, today's a special day, actually, and one of our listeners, a good friend of mine, known him for over half his life, Dave DiRigo, happy birthday, happy 50th birthday. We've shared racing cars and stories and good part of our life, so it's a real honor to be able to say happy birthday to him live on the radio.
Well, happy birthday, Dave. Hope you're having a great day out there. Now, let's talk about Element Fire a little bit. You've got what is probably the coolest fire extinguisher I've seen ever in my life.
Well, thank you. It's a really neat technology. It was developed for police, military, and special forces. And we recognized the value in bringing this to the general public. So the unit that we actually sell is exactly the same one that, the Israeli special forces would have, or the police and other groups around the world. And effectively, most people know of a regular fire extinguisher. It's a compressed gas cylinder, has a certain weight to it, probably about 5 pounds for a normal average one. So we come in at 1/10 the weight. We're 80% smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that you know, haven't seen one before, imagine a stick that is 1 inch in diameter and 11 inches long.
Like a fireworks.
Like a firework. And technically, an element is a pyrotechnic because instead of having a compressed gas charge inside, it's a solid chemical. Mm-hmm. You strike it like a road flare and it starts a chemical reaction. And it is the expansion of gases during that chemical reaction that expels a gas. And that gas chemically puts out a fire without robbing breathing oxygen, without making any kind of a mess of any kind, with no toxic byproducts.
So in other words, you're not going to, you know, we've used them at the shop periodically when we get a fire, and it makes a big mess, the chemical ones, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it takes longer just to clean up the chemical, but you'll have none of that.
None at all. And another cool thing as well is that the discharge that comes out does so at no thrust. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? Most common type of household fire, for instance, is a kitchen oil pan fire.
Right.
And if you hit it with a regular extinguisher, that pressure of the extinguisher will blow the burning oil out of the pan, create an almighty fireball.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of people ask us, you know, hey, is it good for our trailer? Is it good for this? Fire doesn't ask for permission. Mm. So the answer that we give you is, you know, fire doesn't discriminate. Our extinguishers are good regardless of the application.
Now, even though they're much smaller, they actually last longer, you said.
Well, two things, yes. So a regular fire extinguisher has a shelf life to it. It's a few years.
Right.
In some instances, they need to be periodically inspected. So we don't have that issue. Mm-hmm. There is effectively no shelf life. But secondly, if you pull the pin on a regular fire extinguisher and squeeze the trigger, you get about 9 to 11 seconds of spray out of it.
Right.
And at about 6 seconds, it starts losing its steam. So when you imagine, if you've never used one before, the you'll lose a few seconds kind of learning your way, mm-hmm. and then you only have a couple of seconds to get it right. In the case of an element, we have, it's between 50 and 60 seconds of discharge. So it's massive. It's five times the amount. We even have a 100-second version, but the most common one is the 50-second.
And because it's so small, it's it's so easy to handle. You just kind of point it at the fire.
Exactly. It's not only just an ease of use, but it's also an ease of storage. Again, a bottle is difficult to put in places. And my background, I love old vintage cars. I restore old cars as a hobby. And, you know, before I got into this business, you know, I knew I had to carry an extinguisher, but especially in the small Italian cars that I like, they eat up a lot of cabin space. Mm-hmm. And the ability to put it into a door pocket or even a very small glove box is fabulous.
Well, sure. So in the kitchen, for example, you don't have room for a big cylinder, but you could easily put one in the cutlery drawer, couldn't you?
Yes, not only the cutlery drawer, but we offer a number of accessories. And a very simple one is a magnetic mount that you can just stick onto the fridge.
Okay, that works.
That's so cool. That's just perfect.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we found interesting when we got into this business is the desire of customers to have various mounting solutions.
Right.
So when you buy an extinguisher in the box, it comes with a little plastic clip that can let you mount it somewhere. But we do also offer a more heavy-duty mounts. We offer a roll bar mount, which has been fabulously popular in the off-road and racing community. And then other mounts like the magnetic mount and a rubber mount. And we're actually just finalizing right now a Velcro pouch, if you will, to hold it that'll be multi-use that you can put it in various applications.
Very, very cool. Now, Rob, we I don't know if we've ever raced together, but we've been racing a long time, maybe separately. And Element supports some drivers as well.
We do. As I said, I've been road racing for 30 years myself. And I have dreams and aspirations of still doing some big things in racing. The dream is always Le Mans. But at the same time, we see the importance of helping out the next generation of racers. And in fact, we have two racers that we support. One of them is a young lady named Demi Chalkas, who recently just got a fabulous deal with a Mercedes-Benz AMG GT program, which is a fantastic opportunity. And we're thrilled to have been part of her journey. And we'll definitely be part of her journey moving forwards, because in a couple of weeks, I'm taking her to Belgium to race a 25-hour race. So it'll be her first twice-around-the-clock race. And more interestingly, or more excitingly, if you will, is we just signed a deal with a really exciting young carter named Keaton Pipe, who is out of Whitby. And Keaton is a 12-year-old kid who's just tearing it up on the track. He's doing amazing things. Not only is he a regular winner, but he's a winner off the track as well. Does a lot of charitable initiatives support around his racing, and is just a fine young man, and we're really excited to be part of his journey as well.
What does he drive when he's racing?
He drives go-karts.
Okay.
And at the now I might get this a little bit wrong, it's my understanding he's a Briggs Junior driver. Mm-hmm. So it's a Briggs and Stratton four cycle kart engine, and he mainly races out of the Mosport facility. But as I said, based out of Whitby, and you might not remember this, but for a long time, it's all houses now, but there used to be the longest go-kart track in the world was in Whitby.
No kidding.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, this is going back a long way, about 30 years.
Okay, yeah, that was before I moved to the city.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, back to the extinguishers. They come from Italy.
They do. The technology is 100% Italian, and they are made entirely in Italy. In fact, they're made in Turin. And car people will appreciate this because Turin is known for two main things. The Fiat factory is there. It's the head office of Fiat. And there's a lot of history there with the Italian car maker. Mm-hmm. And also the famous design house, Pininfarina, is just down the road from where the factory is. So it's pretty cool.
They're the ones that design Ferraris, don't they?
Correct. Lately, Ferrari has brought their design in-house, but historically, some of the most famous designs came from Pininfarina.
Yeah, and they do other manufacturers as well. Did they do the Carmen Ghia?
No, that was Ghia.
Well, Ghia is the coach builder.
Yes.
And so they might have been involved on the design side. Now, Pininfarina
saving me, because he loves to throw me in there in the bus,
I do not.
Seriously.
They used to have two arms where they were both a coach builder.
Yes.
And you might remember the Cadillac Elante from the mid-1980s.
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah, what a gorgeous car.
And that was a crazy car because they would build the bodies in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And they would send them semi-built on 747s.
Really?
To North America, where they would finish them.
Yeah, they were finished when they got here because they didn't last very long because maybe they looked hot, but you could never afford to have one. And they broke all the time. They were horrible cars.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah.
They looked great because they were designed by Pininfarina.
Right. Now, if people want the fire extinguisher, they don't have to fly to Italy. Where do they get them?
They do not. So we do have a website.
Uh-huh.
And it's... it's elementfire.com, and we also have a Canadian site, which is elementfirecanada.com.
Right.
And we figured, heck, we're on the radio today. Any of the listeners, if they want to go to the site, they can use a coupon code, and the coupon code would be DCG10, so Dave's Corner Garage 10. And between now and July the 1st, 10% sounds about right.
That's a great deal. Thank you very much.
And free shipping on orders over $100.
What if I want it really bad? Can I pick it up somewhere?
There are a few places that do sell it. We're starting a distribution network, and I would say that in the greater Toronto area, two great places is Performance Improvements and JRP out of Oakville are good places, and also Marcor Canada recently has started carrying it as well.
So, and in terms of being fire specific, it'll put out any kind of fire.
It'll put out all the major classes of fire, which would be in this case A, B, C, and K fires, which include kitchen oils and fats.
Okay, so it covers them all.
Very cool. Well, and if people want to find you on the internet, other than your website, you've got some socials as well.
Yeah, on social media, we can go at Official Element Fire, and that would be for all the major social platforms.
Fantastic. And the coupon code is DCG10.
Absolutely. TCG10, good till 10 of the day, July 1st.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
All right, after the break, we're going to be talking to Jeff Atkinson, finding out all about the Honda Indy, which is coming up. Can you believe it's going to be the 34th edition? Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, but it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll be with Jeff right after this break.
Music.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And as always, don't forget to go to davescornergarage.com for your chance to win a $250 Esso gift card.
Let me. Sorry. I got to stop you because we had a mechanical glitch or a technical glitch.
Fair enough.
Yes, and we weren't able to pick a winner this week, but we will be having two winners
next week. So all right. We updated the website, and of course, some things didn't work.
There you go.
Who knew? Nonetheless, we have Jeff Atkinson from Honda Indy. Jeff, you're the president of the Honda Indy, and I've been going to the event probably not 34 years, but maybe 25 years.
Yeah, it's exciting to have the event back after a two-year hiatus. I know the city and all those planning to attend and visit Toronto are very much excited to get back to the event this July.
It's July 15th and the whole weekend, right? 15th, 16th, 17th?
Yeah, July 15th, 16th, and 17th. It's a fun weekend of obviously motorsports. That's the reason why we have the Honda Indy Toronto. But there's so much to see and do off the racetrack, and I think that's what really makes it a family fun environment.
Off the track, you mean we're still within the exhibition ground, so to speak?
Yeah, no, we have our Thunder Alley area. We have the paddocks. There's a lot to see and do when you're not actually in your physical seat. And, you know, when you look at the Honda Indy and what the event is all about, yes, it's the excuse to have the great MTT IndyCar Series in Toronto annually, but it's really the stuff that happens away from the racetrack that's very exciting for our festival goers.
Yeah, I mean, for example, you take a guy who's a dyed-in-the-wool NASCAR fan, he's going, I don't get into that open-wheel stuff. But in fact, you have something for NASCAR fans. You have something for Porsche fans. You got something for everybody.
I think we have one of the most diverse and exciting lineups of motorsports in North America. Obviously, open wheel with the MTT IndyCar Series, but as you suggested, the NASCAR Pinty Series, which would be our feature race on Friday. And that's the first time we've ever programmed a Friday race for our Ontario Honda dealers present Honda Fan Friday campaign in support of Make-A-Wish. So that's a great way to start the weekend, concluding our Friday with a NASCAR 50 Series race. But we have the Road to Indy, we have the Sports Car Canada Championship, and the Porsche Carrera Cup. It's quite the weekend.
Everything but electrics.
Yeah, no.
Not quite yet.
This is an evolution, and IndyCar is going to be switching to a hybrid engine here in the next couple of years. And, you know, I think the thing with motorsports is technology. You know, motorsports is always at the foreground of technology. It's going to be exciting to see, you know, what the next few years bring.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out what is that on the Formula One car where all of a sudden they're allowed to boost them and for passing?
That's IndyCar does the
DNS
boost
or something?
Oh, in Formula One, they've got the flap in the wing that opens up they can go faster down the straights to make passing a little bit more interesting. But IndyCar does it a little bit differently.
I was excited when I had active cruise control, let alone extra 400 horsepower.
That's what we all need. Now, Jeff, on Fan Friday, that is it's free for fans to attend, and you ask for a donation from those fans.
Yeah, we ask for a simple voluntary donation, whatever the festival goer or the fan can contribute as they enter the site. There will be a payment method where they can simply just tap their payment card, which we've seen, I think, at other venues. So we just ask to make a voluntary donation. Enjoy the day. And like I said, it's capped off with the NASCAR Pinty Series ending that day on Friday. And I think it's going to be a very exciting day for those who want to come down on the Friday.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And for race fans, there's lots of Canadians in the various championships, all, you know, from IndyCar all the way down. And in fact, in studio with us today is our friend Rob Calisi from Element Fire. He actually won one of the support races in 2007.
Yeah, that was a pretty exciting time, actually. The car, we had an engine blow up at the beginning of the weekend, and we started last out of 81 cars. And I remember being told, I think it was written in the Globe and Mail, it'd be impossible to go to last with first, but we pulled it off that time. And it was fabulous. And the fans made the whole experience just one of the most memorable racing things I've ever done.
Wow.
That's incredible, considering the character as you've experienced, obviously, competing on the circuit of the track itself. It's a very tough circuit to navigate, and to be able to make that accomplishment, I think that's obviously definitely, I assume, a lasting memory that's just going to live with you.
Definitely. I often say that the trophy in the house is the most expensive thing in the house, because we took a an attitude of checker or wrecker, and the car was not entirely straight by the end of the race.
No, but it's the excitement that comes with victory. And I know, obviously, when the drivers arrive here from the U.S. and our U.S.-based series like the Indy and IndyCar series, I know they've been just, you know, really definitely excited to get back on the streets of Toronto. You know, having this two-year hiatus, I think it's created a lot of pent-up demand in the market. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm to get back out there, not only as an attendee, but those competitors getting back on the racetrack.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I always like seeing is how competitive all the championships are. And that's, you know, IndyCar is so competitive. And of course, the Porsche GT3 Cup Series is ridiculously competitive. Those are identical, brand new Porsche 992 GT3 race cars. And it's an incredibly tough series. And there's a couple of Canadians in there. Parker Thompson, somebody I've interviewed in the past, and he's one of the top runners in that championship.
Yeah, Parker's a strong competitor. He's done a lot of different disciplines. He's been in the road to Indy. Mm-hmm. He is a threat to win any race he gets in. And, you know, getting him behind the wheel of a car that is very equal to his counterparts, those races always make for excitement for the fans.
Yeah, and I've never, Rob, I'll have to talk to you about this later, but I've never raced on a street circuit. I just can't imagine not having sight lines as a racing driver, not being able to see around corners.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. I've always thought that the street circuits bring out the best drivers. They punish drivers that are not precise, but the drivers that are willing to come very, very close to the wall but not touch them can have some really big advantages there. And so you really, if you win on a street circuit, you're a pretty special driver.
You know, I was listening to, I watched NASCAR myself, and I was, you know, and for those guys who just turn left, all of a sudden when they got to go the other way, they get scared. And one of the drivers was saying, I'm not sure which track it was, Mid-Ohio or something, where they were, and they said, you can't see, you don't know what's coming over the crest of the hill. Mm-hmm. So after you've run it a few times, you have to remember, because otherwise you're scared. But Jesus, you don't know what to do.
That's right.
So you have to remember that.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of corners around on different circuits. Mid-Ohio is my home circuit in the U.S. and one of my favorite places to race. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
All right, people want tickets. How do they get them?
Yeah, tickets are still available. HondaIndy.com. The event weekend's July 15th to 17th. And as we stated, obviously, the Ontario Honda dealers present Honda Fan Friday in support of Make-A-Wish. We've raised $820,000 since inception in 2010. So we want people to come out, raise some money for a good cause, and hope to see them the rest of the weekend as well.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Hope for good weather, and I'm sure it'll be some great racing going on.
Thanks so much. We'll chat soon.
All right. Take care. Right after the break, Brian and I will be continuing our story, or not our story, our saga, about electrics. How's that?
Okay, well, let's talk more about electrics. There's lots to learn there.
And electrification.
It's fascinating.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. We've got Rob Calisi from Element Fire still in studio. And you know, I'm still fascinated by that technology, Rob. I think it's fantastic stuff, and it's obviously hard to depict your technology on the air. But if you go to your social media, and I think we've got it on our Facebook page and Instagram, you can see how your fire extinguishers work. It's very, very cool.
I wonder if they'll get so smart, they'll have smart extinguishers where it'll be able to smell something burning and just ignite itself or something. That would be kind of neat.
I think some of those systems are on, just not quite in cars.
All right. Well, okay, speaking of cars, three pedals will be gone, correct?
Well, they're going to be around for, I think, hopefully the rest of our lifetimes.
Well, when we make the move, though,
yes,
they, you know, from gasoline-powered cars or ICE vehicles. If you ever hear ICE, that's
yes,
what they're talking
that's
about.
That's what they're, it's not, yeah, it's not some street drug. That's what they're actually talking about.
Right, internal combustion engine. There
yes.
you go. Smell of exhaust is going to be gone. Now, burning rubber will still be there.
Yeah, it's not a problem to burn rubber in these things, and you know, the of course cars are meant to optimize traction with all the electronic systems in them, and they can do 0 to 60 and nothing at all.
But I wonder I'm wondering if what the excitement was just the propulsion rather than how we got there.
I don't think that's the case, because I think all of us in the studio today love these fine mechanical machines, these finely engineered mechanical machines that, you know, the way the drivetrains work, the way the engines work, is kind of like the heartbeat of a machine. And that is, to me, what the connection is between the driver and the car.
Right, right, right. But you're still pushing a gas pedal, so to speak.
Yeah, you still are, except it makes really cool sounds.
And it's still pushing your butt right back in the seat.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. And what's that deal with what the car makes its own sound? What's the reason for that?
That's so pedestrians can hear you.
Oh, so they hear it outside.
Yeah, because, you know, as I'm driving more EVs in the city, nobody can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at low speeds, they actually have a little speaker on the outside. And that's so pedestrians can hear you approach, because, you know, pedestrians don't pay attention a lot in the city of Toronto. That's for sure.
Of course.
So it's a good thing they can hear me creep up. And whether I'm at a stop sign or rounding a corner, they've got to be able to hear it.
Right. It's because you have so many cell phone zombies walking down the street.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about electric, and people are looking at whether it's financially worthwhile to them. You know, we're always talking about how inexpensive electricity is, but Petro-Canada is all of a sudden taking command here.
They have. So, you know, I think a lot of EV users have been waiting to see what charging stations are going to do with pricing.
Right.
And in Quebec, Petro-Canada basically has doubled their charge rates.
Now, is there any rules or regulations or governing bodies that have, you know, that watch that? Or
not yet. It's not quite like the gasoline business. So the way it's regulated in Canada is you're charged for time. Mm-hmm. So you're not charged per kilowatt. You're
right.
Charged for the time you've spent plugged into the charger. And charge rates are different. They're all over the map. So you can get some really slow charge rates or some faster charge rates, and yet you're only charged by the amount of time.
Oh! Yeah, you mean you could have a double the charge and it cost you the same because you're at a different booth, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of what are called level two charges, something that you would install it in your home and it would take basically overnight
right.
to charge the battery. But then there are these DC fast chargers, and there's networks of them. Petro-Canada has that kind of network, and you know they see charge rates of over 100 kilowatts, which would give you 100 and I don't know, what did I do? Last week I did, this is on a very fast charger, spent 13 minutes on the charger, was getting a charge rate of 255 kilowatts peak, mm-hmm. and that gave me a range of about 220 kilometers.
And it cost?
And it cost $8.
Wow, that was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I mean, I guess you could justify it. I mean, if they're going to put in this hardware, somebody's got to pay for it, right?
Well, somebody's got to pay for it, and it should be the EV user, the EV driver, for sure.
But that sort of scares me, you know, because if ultimately I'm going electric to avoid the price of gas, and there's nothing to control the price of electricity, I could end up with a very expensive car that is also very expensive to operate.
That's right. And, you know, if you've got expensive charge rates, electricity rates at home, that's not going to help you either.
Rob Calisi, Element Fire. They want an extinguisher. How did they get one?
You can go to elementfire.com, and let's not forget the coupon code DCG10. And I originally said it was until July the 1st, but I'm now remembering that on Sirius, you guys will be here a week later. So let's extend that to the end of July in that case.
Super. I want to thank Jeff Atkinson. If you want Honda tickets, go to HondaIndy.com. And, of course, Sean Shapiro, if you want to check him out. He's available at your, we got to run. Bye, everybody. Thanks for coming. Drive safe.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.